brain, brain, brain.
It only weighs 3 pounds.
Your brain, brain, brain.
The smartest thing around.
Your brain, brain, brain. A miraculous machine. The most supercharged computer the world has ever seen.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. How smart are you? Really? You're not as smart as the people I'm about to talk about. These are some of the highest IQs in history. I mean, these people are just so smart. They have their own category of smartity or smartness or whatever it is. Or intelligence. I know. I'm not going to be on the list. Here we go. The top 10 IQs in history. Number 10, Stephen Hawking. His IQ, 160. It is a familiar name and face, that of English theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking. He is best known for his presence in popular science, most notably his book, A Brief History of Time, published in 1988, which portrayed his discoveries in the field of theoretical physics, including his development of the Big Bang Theory. No, not the CBS sitcom. You know what I mean? The theory about how we all got here. Written in layman's terms for an audience of the general population. The book spent weeks on bestsellers lists across the world and has since sold upwards of 10 million copies. Hawking's contributions in the field of theoretical physics have revolutionized the field and advanced the sum of human knowledge substantially. The next one, these are some of the highest IQs in history. Good old Albert Einstein, number 9. His IQ between 160 and 190. The exact IQ of the man famous for essentially jump-starting the field of theoretical physics is unknown because he never took the test. Maybe he was scamming us all. But experts peg his IQ somewhere between 160 and 190. Einstein, born in 1879 in Germany, best known for developing the theory of relativity, which is, alongside quantum mechanics, one of the two theories that provide the foundation for our entire modern understanding of physics. He also participated in developing nuclear fission, an endeavor he later regarded with mixed feelings when it was weaponized as the atomic bomb. He died in 1955 from an abdominal aortic aneurysm. Number 8, Judit Polgar, 170. Chess is a game that has long been associated with intellectual prowess. Naturally, top chess players often measure their IQs as well. Some of the world's brightest minds have gravitated towards the old and respected game. Judit Polgar has been described as the greatest female chess player of all time. She achieved the rank of grandmaster at the age of 15 years and 4 months, the youngest player to do so at the time. She is a pioneer for women in chess and was the first woman to defeat the world's number one ranked player in competitive play, which she accomplished by defeating Garry Kasparov. She remains on the competitive chess circuit today. Number 7, Leonardo da Vinci. Between 180 and 190, like Einstein, we can't give an exact figure to represent Da Vinci's IQ, as neither the concept nor the test existed in his time. However, experts have retroactively deduced that Da Vinci's IQ was most likely in the range of 180 to 190, which would make it among the highest ever. Given all that he did accomplish, it is certainly plausible. Leonardo was the first famous polymath, an expert in various fields, and epitomizes the concept of the Renaissance man more than any human since. Da Vinci was an expert in painting, sculpting, music, mathematics, engineering, geology, cartography, and was an impressive writer to boot. He also really could play Call of Duty well on Xbox. The next one, number 6, Marilyn Vos Savant. 190. The appropriately named Marilyn Vos Savant is, as her name suggests, a genius. She was born in 1946. She rose to fame late in life after being listed in the Guinness Book of World Records under highest IQ in the 1980s. At the time, her score of 190 was the highest measured result recorded. She later became a writer famous for her column Ask Marilyn, where people sent in their questions asking her advice, like a more mathematical-oriented version of Annie's Mailbox, which she then published and answered. She does continue writing her column to this day. Number 5, Garry Kasparov, 194. Garry Kasparov is a Russian chess grandmaster that is widely considered to be the single greatest player of all time. From his professional debut in 1986 to 2005, Kasparov was the number one ranked player for 225 out of 228 months. They don't cover that on ESPN, so that you may not know that. A feat unheard of that has yet to be replicated. His champion status made him a celebrity in his native Soviet Union, and his competitive matches against IBM's Deep Blue computer and political activism against current Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin have made him well known in the Western world outside of the chess community. Kasparov had a recorded IQ of 194, one of the highest ever measured. He is currently retired from chess. He serves on the board of the Human Rights Foundation. Number four, Kim Ong-yang. No, not that guy. This is somebody else. His IQ, 210. Kim Ong-yang is an interesting character for things he chose not to do rather than things he has done. Born in South Korea in 1963, Ong-yang started speaking at 6 months old. He was able to read German, English, Korean, and Japanese by his third birthday. After his gift was publicized, Ong-yang went to the United States to study and later ended up working for NASA for the better part of a decade. Disillusioned with life at NASA, Ong-yang returned to his native Korea to be a teacher, which he continues to do to this day. It is quite remarkable that after a lifetime of fame and opportunities brought on by his intellect, he chose to live a normal and low-key life. And roots for snow days, as do most teachers at this point. Anyway, the next one, Christopher Hirata. His IQ, 225. Christopher Hirata is another child prodigy that made waves when he became the youngest American to win a gold medal at the International Physics Olympiad in 1996 at the age of 13. He enrolled at the California Institute of Technology at 14 and successfully obtained his PhD from Princeton at the age of 22. He later returned to the California Institute of Technology to teach astrophysics, which the 31-year-old still does today. Number two, Terence Tao. These are the highest IQs in recorded history. Somewhere between 225 and 230. Terence Tao is an Australian mathematician who rose to fame as a well-known child prodigy. Born to parents who immigrated to Australia from Hong Kong, Tao specializes in the study of harmonic analysis, combinatorics, and other fields of mathematics. This is a long way from third grade geometry, is it not, folks? He was co-recipient of the Fields Medal in 2006, an award that celebrates excellence and innovation in mathematics to recipients under 40 years old. He teaches at the University of California in Los Angeles. And for those without a big IQ, that's simply UCLA. And the number one highest IQ in recorded history, William James Sidis. 250 to 300. William James Sidis is another individual whose exact IQ score is unknown. Experts have pegged his IQ somewhere in the range of 250 to 300, which would give him the highest IQ score in history. What did Sidis do to earn such an accolade? Born in 1898, he entered Harvard at the age of 11 to study mathematics, which at the time made him the youngest person to ever enroll at that prestigious university. After completing his studies, he began teaching, but found that the students in his class who were older than he was did not take kindly to being educated by what they perceived to be a boy. I don't blame them. Because of his rapid rise through the educational system, he suffered socially, unable to maintain close friendships. Sounds like a Ron Howard movie all of a sudden. The rest of his life was marred by legal trouble after participating in socialist movements and a stint in a sanitarium after his parents, who attempted to reform his political views, put him there. Wow. Upon his release in 1921, the troubled genius stepped away from mathematics and academics entirely and lived a relatively normal life. He died at the age of 46 from a cerebral hemorrhage. My goodness. So his parents put him away because they didn't like his politics. Can you imagine if anything like that even happened, that even was thought of today? Maybe the parents felt threatened. The kid was obviously smarter than they were. There is a good point, though. You're going to a prestigious university, and all of a sudden your teacher is younger than you? You're, what, 20, 21 years old, and all of a sudden there's some 17-year-old telling you what's coming up next week and how to get a hold of him during his office hours? That's a little too much to deal with. So some of the smartest people in the history of the world. It's amazing. There's a big difference between book smarts and common sense and street smarts and all that, but Street smarts and common sense only do get you a certain way. You need the brain power, and you need the book smarts to take you where you need to go. So, to these people, I tip my hat to you. You ever have your IQ measured? I haven't had mine measured. Where do you go for that? Walmart doesn't set up a table, have your IQ tested today by Jackson Hewitt or anything like that. That just doesn't happen. I guess if you want, go to a local university and they'll give you the IQ test and you can see how smart or how dumb you really are. Stay with us. Coming up next, Starbucks. You go in there and you buy your latte and you buy that semi-decent-looking banana, but there it is. There's a CD on the counter for you to buy. There's five or six to choose from. CDs? What is this? 2005? We'll have the story. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network. America
Weekend. Think Green. Harrison with you. A new book, Heal Your Mind, Rewire Your Brain, suggests the next time you're tempted to stifle a yawn, stop. Or more accurately, don't stop. Yawning isn't rude or socially unacceptable because it's actually one of your body's coolest tricks and brings with it a host of benefits for your body, your mind, even your relationships. Many of us think yawning in the presence of others is simply disrespectful, but it seems yawning's actually the body's way of rejuvenating the brain so it can function more effectively. In scientific terms, a yawn is characterized by an inhalation of air that stretches the eardrums, followed by an exhalation, occasionally accompanied by a stretch, technically called a pendiculation. But what does the yawn actually do to the human brain, and why might it help you at work and play? We'll look tomorrow from the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. The bike won't start. Maybe all that's needed is a charge. How can a biker tell when the battery is actually shot? Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Riding in 40-degree winter weather all the way up to 110 in the summer, ABM has developed a motorcycle battery habit. When turning over the engine, only be met by a click, click, click. The wiring is good, but the headlight is dim. 12 volts measured on a cheap meter means the battery needs a 2 to 6 amp charge for an extended period of time. After refreshment, if the problem persists and no wiring issues are present, the battery is likely shot. Key here is an inexpensive battery charger. Find one on sale and pounce on it. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.